such a joy to come to on this media today, and I'm recording here from Natal in Umhlanga Rocks, and just behind me the view that I have is this beautiful sea and the waves crashing on the seashore. And just sitting here before I started recording this, this came up in my heart and really stirred me. The scripture in Isaiah 48, verse 17 and 18. I just want to read it to you as a backdrop of what we're going to be talking about today. And it's this word. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. He says, I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you and who directs you in the way that you should go. Isn't that fantastic to know that God does that? But listen what he says. He says, but if you only had paid attention to my commands, in other words, if you had been obedient to my commands, then your peace would have been like a river. And we know what a river is like, the peace of a river, when it's just flowing and it's calm and it's quiet. There's such a peacefulness about it. And then he says, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. What an incredible portion of scripture that is. And it just stirs my heart. Every time I look at the sea crashing on the beach, then I realize that God said, if we were just obedient, the blessings of God would flow into our lives. Come, let us just pray. Father, we thank you for this privilege to be on this platform. We long to be together, Father, because you've called us to fellowship with one another. But Lord, at this time, as we come over this media system, I want to ask that you would just bless every hearer. May your anointing speak to us a very significant word from the heart of God today to all of us, including myself. Thank you, Lord. May we be attentive to hear what the Spirit of God says in Jesus' mighty name. Well, just welcome to our congregation and to everybody that is tuned in. No matter where you are, no matter where you are right now, just sit back and allow the Holy Spirit to minister into your life. Today, I want to get to the heart of something I spoke about 3 weeks ago, the word transformation or change. But we spoke about transformation, and the word I've got to speak to you again this week is the result of transformation. So if you didn't hear the first one, go onto YouTube, find it, or on Facebook and listen to it, because I believe it was a word in season for the church. But I just really believed God laid in my heart very strong to share this, which I'm going to share with you, the foundation of transformation, the very key to transformation, if it were so, the result of transformation. Because you see, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation, the old is gone and the new has come. And that is such a wonderful truth. So what happens is we become renewed inside, and but we've got to start living that renewal, and we need to start transforming, getting the stinking thinking out of the way and becoming more like Jesus. The process of transformation, which I spoke about in the first of the series, in transformation, number one. And I want to say this, that God can use you mightily. Do you really believe that? If you really believe that, just say amen in your own heart right now. But you must be willing to follow his leading. And that leading, let me tell you, is called one word. It's obedience. Isn't that so? What God said, I am the Lord God that leads you. But if you only obeyed my commandments, man, if you were only obedient, the blessings would flow towards us. The reason the blessings most times do not flow to us is because of disobedience. For any kind of transformation to take place, we need to be following God, but in obedience. So what I want to use as a backdrop, as a scripture, really powerful incident that takes place, probably one of the saddest events that takes place in the life of Israel. You know, they were taken out of Egypt, and then we know the process that they went through. Eventually, they were a nation. And they didn't like God to be their king anymore. They didn't want God to rule them. They wanted a man. And so then they chose Saul. And he stood head and shoulders literally above everybody. He was anointed. He was a wise man. He was an incredible guy. And he really did amazing work with God's anointing on his life. And when I pick up a scripture verse over here where Samuel comes to talk to him, and he makes an incredible statement. Samuel says to Saul, "Although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become like the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel when you were still humble." And I can tell you something, an obedient life is a humble life. But what happens in the story, and I'm just going to glance over the story a little bit. God calls Saul and the army of Israel to go and take out the Amalekites. And what he does is, he doesn't take out the king, or they choose a whole lot of selective sheep and cattle to go and offer to God. And not only does he keep it out where God said kill everything, he was disobedient, he goes and he actually knows that Samuel isn't coming soon enough. He goes and makes his own slaughter, and it wasn't even for him to do it. But you would think to yourself, well, you know, Saul, that wasn't such a bad thing. I mean, you know, he kept a few sheep out and he went and he made a sacrifice when it was somebody else to do it. But his intent was good, and we would probably write that off. But you see, God looks at our hearts, and he looks at the attitude of our hearts. Saul grew too big for his boots, and that's what disobedience does to our lives. And what's amazing is when Samuel eventually arrives on the scene, he says, "Hello, Samuel," and his word is this. He says, "I've done everything God commanded me to do." And then Samuel says something so powerful, which I want to read to you now. And it's God's voice through Samuel to Saul's ears. I want to pray this. What I'm going to read now is from God through my voice to all of us that are listening right now. Listen to these words that Samuel says to Saul, which is a word for us. Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices?" Look, the Lord has a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice because he instituted it. But it's the attitude with which it gets done, because that's it. I'm going to talk a lot about that. But yes, the problem is, you see, for many Christians, we're busy with all the sacrificial stuff, but we're not obedient. And it's exactly what God was saying through Samuel to Saul. He says, "Has the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices?" Listen to this. "As in obeying the voice of the Lord." What is most important? Obeying the voice of the Lord. He says, "Behold, to obey is better than a sacrifice." You can come with all the stuff you can do, and we'll talk about that. But if you're not obedient, it has no significance. And then he says, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." And then he says something very, very powerful. He says, "For rebellion." You see, disobedience is perceived to be an attitude of rebellion. He says, "Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and your stubbornness, because you're not obedient, is as idolatry or a teraphim, a household good luck images." What he's saying is, you may as well go and serve the devil and throw cards and throw bones and have good luck charms all over your house and everything and follow that stuff when you're disobedient, because it has the same concept to God when we're disobedient, because God wants obedient children of his. He says to him, "Because you have rejected the word of the Lord," you see, you were not obedient to the word of the Lord, "he has also rejected you as king." And you know what's so crazy, and I want to just read it to you quickly. And it says here in 1 Samuel 15, verse 20 and 21, and he says these words, "But I did obey the Lord," he says. Saul says, "and I went on the mission the Lord assigned to me. I went on that mission, and I completely destroyed the Amalekites, and I brought back Agag, their king." He did not destroy. He was disobedient. "And I brought King Agag, and the soldiers took the sheep and the cattle and the plunder and the best of what was devoted to God in order to sacrifice them to the Lord God at Gilgal." The people took it. He's in charge. God gave him the command, and he just broke it. And you know, when he was confronted, he says, and Saul said, "Why did you take this stuff?" This is what he says. "I was afraid of the people, so I gave in to them." How many Christians give in to the world around them because they want to follow the ways of the world and please the world? This is exactly what Saul did. And he went and he chose disobedience over obedience. And that's the amazing thing. You see, obedience is not an optional thing. The day you gave your life to Jesus, that was the first key of your obedience. You had to be obedient to give your life to Jesus. I know it's by faith that you get saved and you gave your life to Jesus by faith, but it was a step of obedience that you took. So you started in obedience. And once Jesus came to live in you, transformation took place. And the continuation of transformation is done through a constant life of obedience. That's how we transform into the image of Jesus and the way we live. You know what Philippians 2 verse 12 says this. Dearest friends, when I was there with you, you were always, now listen to this, so careful to follow my instructions while you were being watched. While you were at church, while we were coming together, man, you lived this obedient kind of life. And you see, it's like that today. What about now where we got lockdown? I'm wondering how many are actually tuning in to actually, and still will sit through this whole sermon or just put it off just now. How obedient are you when everybody's not around you and watching you when you're alone? How are you serving the Lord? What is your obedience like? That's the question that he says of you. Be careful to follow my instructions. And now that I'm away, you must do it even more carefully to do the good things that result from being saved. What are the good things that are that you do from being saved? Listen to that result from being saved. This is what it is. Obeying God. There's that beautiful word. Obedience. Obedience to God. How? With a deep reverence, the fear of the Lord, shrinking back from anything that might displease God. You see, disobedience displeases God. Get that into your heart right away. When you be no disobedient, it's displeasing God. You know, we grew up in a world where we live in a world of options. From babies, we grow up in a world of options. We have options for all sorts of things. Likes, dislikes, my comfort, my conveniences. I have all of these options. And it goes through in our life. If you've studied and you've qualified, you have an option of different careers. When you go buy a motorbike, you have an option for buying whatever bike suits you. There's an option there. I'm not sure why some of you buy what you buy. No, we won't go down that road. But what I want to say is you have an option to buy the house you buy, the option to stay where you stay. It's all about options. Everything in our lives, the way we dress, whatever we do, it's options. But you know what? Here's the problem. Is we have these options. The word option in the dictionary is to act. It's the act of choosing, the freedom to choose, open to choice. And that's exactly how we live our Christian lives, with options. We tend to treat God that way too. If we're obedient or if we're not obedient, well, it doesn't really matter because it's my option anyway. You see, God gave us a free will. It's my option to serve him and be obedient, or it's my option to not serve him and not be obedient. That is the truth. You see, somebody once said, and this is true, partial obedience is disobedience. You know, someone asked Dr. Chu, pastor of the largest church in the world in China. It's got over 1 million members. Can you imagine a church like that? And they asked him, what do you ascribe to your great success of running the church in this dynamic way? You know what he said? Two things. And I want to ask you, is this in your life? He says, his reply, very simple. And this was his reply. I pray and I obey. Do you want to live a life of transformation? Do you want to live a life that makes a difference? Let me tell you. Pray and obey. There's no other key. I love the story about Alexander the Great, just before the coming of Jesus Christ, probably 300 years before Jesus. This Alexander, he went and he conquered most of the known world at that time. And he arrived at a king's palace, and this king and his subjects were all inside behind this castle wall, and they were standing there, and he asked him to surrender. Well, the king looked over the wall with his subjects, and he said to him, with laughing at him, he literally laughed at him, and he said, why should I surrender to you? You can do us no harm. We're protected over here. And then Alexander said to him, just watch this. And then he got all his men to line up, and he started to march them, and they kept marching and marching, and they got to the edge of the cliff. And they kept on marching, and they kept on marching, and they fell down to their death. 10 of them. And by the 10th one that fell down, he called them back, and he got his men around him. And at the sight of that, this king and all his subjects, fear came all over them. And they realized, if these people can obey this Alexander to their death, they're going to lose this battle for sure. And they surrendered. They realized that a few men actually willing to commit suicide at the command of a dynamic leader, then nothing could stop them for eventual victory. And so when I read that, I just thought about obedience. The real question here in this story that I've mentioned to you, are you really willing to be obedient to the ruler of the universe, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as those soldiers were to Alexander? Are you also dedicated? Are you also obedient? Are you also committed? Because as I said previous week on this transformation sermon, the birth canal through which transformation comes is through the birth canal of obedience and dedication and commitment. And we need to be committed. I mean, if you just take a story of Alexander and a committed Christian, just think for a moment how much power Christ could have in our area of influence where God has placed us with just a portion of such commitment and obedience as what we saw and heard about in Alexander. We would be a dreadful destroyer of the things of the enemy. We need to take ground back. We need to revive our hearts in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there are certain things in us, and I said that the other week, that have to come out. God has placed great things in you. And it's through obedience as you transform to become a dynamic soldier in the kingdom of God. Because the result of transformation is continuous obedience. Not partial obedience, because that's disobedience, but continuous obedience. And obedience is putting into action that which God requires. And can I just say, it is not optional. It is not optional. So many Christians think, and think about your life a little bit right now, and just ponder what I'm going to say now. Many Christians think, if I'm obedient and I do good in one or two areas of my life, then God will overlook the disobedience and the sin in the other area of my life. Well, don't be deceived, because that is a lot of rubbish. That is a lie from the pit of Satan. We do that. We think, well, I'm good at this and I'm good at that, but I walk with this unforgiveness and I hate that person and I connive and I steal and I'm disobedient to the God's commands and I'm not producing the fruit and I'm walking in anger and bitterness and all of that. But that doesn't matter. As long as I'm doing a few good things and I give to charity and, you know, God thinks I'm okay. Listen, God wants full obedience. Listen, all or nothing. That's the key issue in this. When God's word says something, that's exactly what it means. And we've read it and what God said to Saul. Let us sit up and listen. Psalm 40 verse 6 says this to us. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, nor have you delight in them. He says, you have given me pleasure this. You have given me, I want to tell you, looking at me right now, me looking at you right now, I'm looking at you to tell you this out of the Word of God. God has given you a capacity. Say capacity. God has given you a capacity to hear and to obey. None of us will be without excuse one day when we come before God, because we have the capacity within us when the Holy Spirit came to live in us, the capacity to hear the Spirit. That's why Jesus says, him who has ears to hear, let him hear. The beautiful sermon that Eddie preached last week for us. We need to hear what the Spirit says. We need to open these two and shut this one a little bit more so we can hear what the Spirit, but did he only give us the capacity to hear, but also to obey. To obey what? Your law. And more valuable service than burnt offerings and sin offerings, which you do not require. You see, when we're obedient, then we don't have to bring sin offerings because we won't sin. That's the thing. What is the kinds of sacrifices we offer? I mean, I know it's in this pandemic time and we're not going to church, but many people feel when I come to church, when I sing songs, and if you're part of the CMA ministry, when you wear your colors and you've prospected, you become a CMA member and you go to rallies and jaws and even if you're in leadership and you have a leadership position, listen to me, you can give tithes and offerings. All of these things. I want to just say this on tithes and offerings, because Jesus said in Luke 11:42, he's speaking to the scribes and Pharisees. He says, you give so well of your tithes, the tenth. You give it so well. You give it so accurately and you're so wonderful, but you leave the important stuff out. You're walking in disobedience, but you bring in this stuff, which is important stuff also, like tithes and offerings. And at this moment, I just want to give thanks to God for the beautiful, faithful people that continue to tithe into this ministry. We have been able to help in this week again out of the funds of the tithing people, because we don't have a lot of people that are giving money to help for the needy. We're using it out of the church funds to actually directly help a lot of people in our church and surrounding our church to be able to help them. So I want to honor you and thank you for it. But listen to me, you can do all the works that a Christian can do. All this is even possible, listen to me, church, without the obedience, because obedience is allowing genuine transformation in the heart. Besig met dinge, maar nie met die Here nie. And that's called disobedience. Sacrifice without obedience is just a painful waste of time. We need to understand that. That's why James 1:22, when James writes to the church, he says these words. Do not merely, in James 1:22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. You know what I've learned about many Christians? They feel if they've read their Bible and they've read a whole lot of scriptures and they've taken notice of them, they've sat under a sermon, even like a sermon like this, on obedience and transformation, then they've changed. No change is change until you change. Please hear that. And we need to be embarking on a lifestyle of change. God is, Jesus, when he comes, he's coming to fetch a bride that's ready, and the oil lamps are filled and ready for Jesus. And that is only filled, and the garments are only made ready through one thing, and that is obedience, church, obedience. In Job 36, verse 11 and 12, it says, and they obey and they serve him. If they obey and they serve him. Listen to that. If they obey him and they serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasantness and joy. But if they disobey, if they don't obey him, they shall perish by the sword of God's destructive judgments, and they shall die in ignorance of true knowledge. That's the wonderful thing about obedience. Because when I'm obedient to God, then God fills and brings me with true knowledge. And that truth that comes begins to set me free. And I walk in a freedom that people don't even fully understand. But the obedient people are walking free. Why? Because they're gaining knowledge and understanding. It's the truth that sets us free. So what I want to do today is I want to give you three things. Just three things. And the truths about obedience. Here's a couple of truths about obedience when you walk in obedience. Just listen to this. Number one, obedience brings forth a desire for self-examination. You can see it. A Christian that is obedient has this wonderful characteristic. He has an inner desire for self-examination, which produces transformation. Man, I've seen this in my life. When confronted with sin, when confronted with bad habits, when confronted with bad attitudes, when confronted with unforgiveness in your heart and so on, people talk to you about it and cross you. An obedient person says, how can I change? When you hear a negative thing said over your life, listen to me. Say, God, how do I need to change this? First, look at your own heart. The problem with us Christians, when we're in disobedience, the first thing we do is we make excuses. We give a reason why we are and what we've done. Instead of pausing, and that's what an obedient Christian does. He takes self-examination. You know when you're walking in obedience. How do you know it? Because here's the issue. You will have a passionate desire to do, and I call it painful self-inspection all the time, and be willing to be transformed or to be changed. That's the wonderful thing. Psalm 139, verse 23. Listen to David's heart here. Search me thoroughly, O God. Search me how? Thoroughly, O God. And know my heart, God. Try me, God, and know my thoughts. What a powerful prayer to pray. Listen, when you're in deep disobedience, I don't think you kind of want to pray that prayer. But this wasn't a prayer like you quit this prayer quickly to God so God can pull the wool over God's eyes. No, man, God knows your heart, and he knew David's heart. David's desire here is that disobedience wasn't going to hinder his work and his life and his relationship with God. Please, God, help me. Most of us don't like self-examination, do we? But self-examination creates transformation and change. We cannot stay where we are. Obedience moves us on. It's like the Isaac Newton, the first law of motion. I love this. Listen to this. Everything continues in a state of rest. It is compelled to change. How? By forces impressed upon it. That's why I say some people will change when they see the light and they will become obedient. But yes, it. Others change only when they feel the heat. Man, don't wait until you feel the heat. Don't wait until your life gets into such a mess that God has got to bail you out. Get into obedience. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life. Some people will change when they see the light, but others will only change when they feel the heat. Absolutely. So some of the things about obedience. Number one, obedience brings forth a desire for self-examination. You can see, if you've been obedient to God, the first thing you're going to do is self-examine it. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 5 says, test and evaluate your own self to see whether you're holding to the faith and producing the proper fruit thereof. Test and evaluate your own self. That's what a Christian needs to be doing. Secondly, and I love this because this is such a powerful truth, and it's like I said, what God said about the sea and the waves, if you just obeyed me, you would have the blessings just flowing and flowing and flowing, and they don't stop. And God wants more blessing and more blessing on your life. God wants breakthrough upon breakthrough on your life. Praise be to God. So here's the second one. Obedience brings forth blessing. Every promise in God's word comes with a condition. The condition is obedience. Listen to 1 John 3, verse 22. And we receive from him whatever we ask. Oh, hallelujah. We receive from him whatever we ask. But as I said to you, there's always a condition. The condition is obedience. Because we watchfully, and he has that beautiful word, say with me, obey. We obey his orders. We observe his suggestions and his injunctions. Injunction is just his authoritative order that he's given us. We follow his plan for us, and we make a habit of practicing what is pleasing to him. What's the key in this whole passage to get to receive everything we ask from him? It's to obey. Obedience brings the blessing of God into our life. Deuteronomy 12:28, God talking to the Israel nation. He says, be watchful, and there's that beautiful word, obey all these words I command you, that it may go well with you and with your children after you forever, when you do what is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God. You see, God's not trying to be difficult. He's just telling us, church, children of God, get into a lifestyle of obedience. Do what the word says, man. As James said it to us, do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourself. Do what it says. Blessings come when we commit to do it God's way, not my own way. I just got to read the scripture. It's a little bit long, but it is so powerful. It is so wonderful. Just take this for you today. But you see, the key is obedience. Transformation. Listen to me. The result of transformation. You want to be transformed? Let's walk in obedience. Listen to this beautiful message. Leviticus 26, 3 through 30. All scripture is God-breathed, and it's for our instruction. Listen to this. If you obey all my commandments, say all, not some. If you obey all my commandments, I will give you regular rains, and the land will yield a bumper crop, and the trees will be loaded with fruit long after the normal time. Can you imagine? When the season's over, your trees have still got good fruit. You're picking it, and you're still earning, and you're still feeding on it. That's the blessing of God. How? When you obey all my commandments. And the grapes will still be ripening when sowing time comes again. You're about to sow more grapes in the fields, but this grapes of yours are still growing and still producing. You shall eat your fill and live safely in the land. For I will give you peace, and you will go to sleep without fear. Did you hear that? You'll go to sleep without fear. I will chase away the dangerous animals. I will chase your enemies. They will die beneath your swords. 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 1,000. You will defeat all your enemies. I will look after you, and I will multiply you, and I will fulfill my covenant with you, and you will have such a surplus of crops that you won't know what to do with them. And when the new harvest is ready, And I will live among you, and I will not despise you, and I walk among you, and I'll be your God, and you shall be my people. For I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt with the intention that you be slaves no longer. I have broken your chains, and I will make you walk with dignity. Praise the name of Jesus. Leviticus 26 from verse 3 through 13. If you obey all my commandments, you will see the blessing of God. All I can surmise in this 21st century, half the Christians that are suffering and going through stuff in their lives is for one reason only. You're being disobedient to the things of God. You're doing life your way. You think doing a few things right is okay. It is not okay. Bible says, obey all my commandments. You are positioned for a blessing. And if you're not positioned for a blessing, you settling for second best, and God doesn't give second best. And third, but not last, well, last but not least, the third one, the first one is obedience brings forth self-examination. The second one brings blessing from God in obedience. The third one, and I need to say this because I need to sum it up here, disobedience brings forth consequences. Disobedience will always have consequences. You've got to understand it. We've read it through scripture more than enough now. Because if I do, it will be a blessing. If I don't, the curse will come. I can tell you that. Now, I want you to do yourself a favor, because I'm not going to read it. Otherwise, we'll be here for a long, long time. But I want you to do your favor. Leviticus, where I've just read out of 26. I want you to go and read from verse 14 to 28. And then I want you to go read, and there they are, just the headlines. Make a note of those and do that. And maybe if you're having home sales this week, just go and read those two scriptures and read them to the people, and let you read the Word of God and hear what the Word of God says. Because Deuteronomy 28 from verse 1 to 14 is the blessings. But from 15 to 68, we see the price of disobedience. 53 verses are curses. Hey, that rhymes. 53 verses are curses, but 14 verses are the blessing for obedience. But when you're disobedient, what happens? We see that in the life of Israel. And the book of Hebrews warns us to use and look at Israel and see their life and not do the same stuff in our lives. We need to walk in obedience. Listen to me. Revelation 3:3, and I'm going to close with this. So call to mind the lessons you have received and heard. Call it to mind, continually lay them in your heart, and listen to this, and obey them, and obey them, and obey them, and repent, and change your, and transform. In other words, if you're not being obedient, here's your opportunity, hearing a word from God through my mouth to you, and I hear it myself. This week I've been working on it. I've been so sensitive to disobedience in my life, because I want to repent and change and reform. He says, in case you will not rouse yourself and keep awake and watch, I will come upon you like a thief, and you will not know or suspect at what hour I will come. He's talking about he's coming, and he's talking to Christians here. Children of God, is your lamp full? It's full only when you're obedient. Are you waiting for Jesus? Only those that are obedient are waiting for Jesus. The others are messing around. Is there fear in your life that Jesus will come and you're not going to be ready? There's only one reason for that. You've been disobedient. We need, church, to come into a place of transformation. We need to be transforming into the image of his son, living like Jesus. But that only comes through an obedient life. You know, the Bible says, and it comes to my mind in Philippians, the second chapter, it says, Jesus learned obedience from what he suffered. Oh, Lord Jesus, may we learn. What price are you willing to pay for disobedience? Don't let stupidity cause you to miss eternity. Hear that today. The result of transformation comes from obedience. And obedience is not optional. May you live a transformed life. And the only way you can is through obedience. May this word really shake up something within your heart. I pray that in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for this word. I don't want to have long prayers to pray, because this word is self-explanatory. We know your heart. You look to us. You're not there with a stick to beat us when we're disobedient, but you want us to repent, and you want us to turn around and change. Lord, help us to see the blind spots in our lives where we've been disobedient, maybe willfully, maybe unintentionally, but Father, help us. Help us to grow. and help us to transform into the image of your Son. And I thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. God bless you, beautiful people. May you walk in a transformed, obedient life. God bless. Bye.